Hey, Doc Danny here, and I just want to say thank you for listening to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. If you want to get involved in the conversation and get your questions answered and feedback from myself and 1,500 other people within the PT Entrepreneur community, head over to Facebook and join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. This is a great group for anybody that is in business or thinking about going into business for themselves and wants the support of other people like me and other practitioners out there that are entrepreneurs. So guys, thanks for listening. Enjoy this episode.
So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And I just got back from CSM. For those of you that came up to CSM to go to the conference and to get a chance to, you know, learn some great stuff, but also connect, it was fun getting a chance to meet some people in person. And I'm really glad that I had a chance to go. And this is the first CSM that I've been to since 2008, I believe. It was about 10 years. So I haven't been to them very often, but I plan to go back. Honestly, I thought it was really, really good. And what I wanted to do was talk about my biggest lessons learned from attending this massive conference, right? And for me to sort of dip my toe back in the water of the APTA, which I really have really nothing to do with at this point, in terms of going to a lot of APTA events or having anything to do with their infrastructure or anything like that. This is the first time that I've gone to a big event like this in, like I said, about a decade. And I wanted to take an opportunity to actually share with you what I learned and why I felt like it was beneficial, so that, you know, maybe some of you will decide to go to something similar or not, or maybe after this, we'll see. You'll make your mind up. But it was in Washington, D.C. So over the last week, I believe, forget the dates exactly, but what we had planned was some pretty cool stuff. And so we did a workout that we hosted at a CrossFit gym. A buddy of mine owns District CrossFit, just south of where the conference was at. And we had about, I guess it was like 25 PTs show up at 5 o'clock in the morning to train. And we all did, you know, lunges, wall balls, and burpees, and some other stuff together. And really just an opportunity for us to get together to train. Some of these folks had never been to a CrossFit gym, never done CrossFit before. Really, it's not about the methodology, it's not about the gym, it's not about the training system, whatever. It's about the fact that as healthcare providers, you know, we have to lead from the front. We have to be an example for the people that we're trying to help. And in many cases, we ask them to make lifestyle changes. We ask them to get a little stronger, move a little bit more, move a little bit better, you know, change some of their habits. And if we're unwilling to do the same thing ourselves, it's very hypocritical. So I am a big believer in the fact that you have to lead from the front. You have more credibility when you do so. You don't have to, you know, be strict paleo and clean and jerk 315 pounds or whatever. You don't have to do all that stuff. You just have to be healthy and you have to make the right decisions for yourself. Otherwise, it's going to be hard for you to get credibility or have credibility when you ask other people to do the same thing. So for us, we felt it was important to get a training session in and meet people there. So for anybody that's listening to this that came, I met such awesome people at that training session. You know, at 5 o'clock in the morning, I appreciate you guys coming. It was really fun. And then we were able to host a happy hour, sort of like meet up at a bar, a little bit north of where the conference center was at on that Friday night. And, that was awesome too, just to sort of like talk to people outside of the setting of, like, you know, the actual structure of the course that was going on, the actual conference, and, connect with folks and talk to them about what they're doing, what they're trying to do. Some of them were students, some of them were new grads, some of them had been out for a while. But for them to also meet each other was just cool. And, you know, so for all of you that came to that, like, I really, you know, obviously even I really appreciate that as well. And it's fun for us to be able to have a chance to connect with you guys in person and for you guys to see that, you know, we are actual human beings. It's not just a one-way channel of listening to this guy talk about things. And, you know, what's interesting is just to see the feedback, right? Because this is a one-way channel. Like, I talk and you listen, but you don't really get a chance to respond positively or negatively. You know, you might be like, yeah, dude, I totally agree with that. Or, you know, I don't think that, you know, that's the best approach. Or, you know, have you thought of X, Y, and Z? And so for me, I had a chance to really have a nice back and forth conversation with a lot of people, which was a blast. So I definitely plan on trying to go to another event, potentially CSM again next year. And I'll sort of talk about that a little bit as we go through this. So here are my top five takeaways from CSM 2019. So number one is the performance PT community is alive and growing. And this was probably one of the coolest things that I was able to see while I was at this conference. And there's this hybrid approach, this sort of gray area provider slash coach, you know, what we call a performance-based PT or a performance provider. And there's a lot of us. You know, this model that, you know, it probably started before people like Kelly Starrett, but people like Kelly, you know, a decade ago, really driving towards this idea that we should be able to function in the gray area and have high level strength and conditioning skills that we can then stack on a better biomechanical understanding of movement, use our hands, and understand how to affect pain, and mix those two together. And all of a sudden, it's like a unicorn of a provider. I think it's the future for our profession. I'm obviously biased because it's how I provide healthcare to people. But frankly, with some of the crap that comes through my door, when I hear about what other people are doing, it shocks me to think that that's the solution. Like, we had somebody come in the other day that, you know, 2 years of back pain. And the only crap that they really had this person do at PT was like stretch their hamstrings, and then they did a bunch of modalities to their spine, right? Like actually to the back, and then stretch your hamstrings. And this is a high level rower. This is somebody that is really strong. They have a lot of tone in their hamstrings and they hinge like dog shit, and they have no thoracic mobility. And they're really lopsided because they pull just one side over and over again. And within a few minutes of having them breathe, we were able to affect their pain more so than months and months and months of a traditional provider's. What the fuck are you doing if you think that is going to fix a high-level athlete? You got to get some goddamn clinical education if you think that's going to fix somebody that is a like national level master's rower. And that's the reality for a lot of our profession. So the fact that we can then take a step back and understand how these different things work together and honestly help this person get back to the sport that they really, really love and the activities that, you know, that drive them, is that's, we need people to do that. And by and large, our profession doesn't help these people. These active people, these youth athletes, active adults, they fall through the cracks. You know, they go to a traditional practice and they get dog shit PT like this, which, hey, maybe if you have, you know, a geriatric population, low level, just return to activities of daily living kind of person, maybe that's what they need. I don't know. I still would train them the same way we would train this person. But we need more people that are willing to focus on that gray area in between rehab and strength and conditioning and mix them together and get these people that are underserved the results that they want. And that's where this performance PT community is evolving. And it's evolving in front of us. You know, I sat in the first presentation that we went to was a strength training for runners presentation, which, by the way, the instructors for that did an absolute awesome job. I think that they did a really, really good job of taking evidence and presenting it in a way that was a compelling argument to get people to load heavily if they're an endurance athlete, if they're a runner in particular. But as I sat there, I thought to myself, isn't everybody already doing this? And I talked to a couple of people that were next to me, and I was like, isn't this everybody already doing this? And they're like, no, man, Not at all. And I think maybe 10% of the people in that room are doing something like that, and probably less than that, they can actually effectively teach somebody how to do a deadlift or a squat to where it's beneficial and they're not burning themselves down with terrible technique. So there's a small percentage of us right now that function in this role, but it's growing. And we have some really, really smart people that are sort of spearheading this. So obviously, like, Kelly's had a lot to do with this, but there's people, you know, that I had a chance to meet this weekend that are really, honestly, very influential within this and have this big following, like people like Teddy Wilsey or Sam Spinelli, Wesley Wang, you know, being able to actually talk to these folks and engage with them about these areas in between, you know, people like Quinn Hinock, and actually talking to him about where clinical athletes stands with this and how people can progress and learn more. We have some really smart people that are kind of leading the charge on the clinical side of this stuff. You know, people like Shantae Cofield and where that fits with her talking about how she mixes all the things that she's learned into a solid assessment so we don't miss as many things within this realm. And what I noticed was there are a lot of students that are disgruntled with these clinical rotations they get at these larger corporate PT practices, and they want to practice like a performance PT, but they can't because they're shoved into high volume settings with really limited expectations about what they should be doing, how they're going to work with people, and the level at which they can get them back to. And frankly, the other thing is, sometimes the things that we do, you know, insurance doesn't reimburse for that. Like, if I want to sit there and talk to somebody for 45 minutes about past history of things that they've gone through and their frustrations, and really just like let them air out their frustrations and get comfortable with the process that we have, it's hard for me to get anything back for that, you know, versus if I say, all right, well, this is what my time is worth. You know, you want to work with me, I want to work with you. You agree? I agree. Let's do it. You know, that's basically the way that it works. And then I can do pretty much whatever I want within that setting, within our scope of practice. And it's between you and I. So this is what is so appealing to this younger group of providers. And you might be listening to this and thinking to yourself, yeah, I definitely want to be, you know, in that performance PT conversation, that performance PT realm. And it is growing. There's so many people that are moving towards that. I'm telling you, it's the future of our profession, in my opinion, from a standpoint of sports medicine, orthopedics, right? Now, there's other sectors within PT, but even something as simple as like, or something as different, I should say, as women's health. Women's health, you think, oh, okay, well, that's different. There's like internal work and that's very specialized. True, but they still have to be able to get people back to high level activity. So somebody like Carrie Pagliano, who is showed up at our workout, who's the APTA, you know, women's health president, she is doing these things. Like, she's got it, man. She's got this performance hybrid approach and these other skills in these more traditional sort of internal or traditional women's health based skills. And that combination, she's like a goddamn unicorn. It's amazing. No wonder people, you know, go out of their way to go work with her and they get amazing results, because she understands both the movement and the training side, and she understands the traditional side. And I think that's really where we have to start to mix these skills. And the fact that this community is growing, I find amazing. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a whole section associated just for this stuff. And whether that be in the APTA or outside the APTA, this community is growing and people want to learn more. People want to be associated with it. And I'm so excited to be a part of that in some way and to be associated with these people. So number two, students are smarter now than ever. And I think this is sort of what everybody thinks, like the next group of people that are coming through school are smarter than them. At least I think so. You know, I'm pretty sure my kids will be smarter than I was. Like, when my son's 10, he's going to be a shitload smarter than I was when I was 10. You know, just the level of information they have access to and speed of access to information is crazy. It's totally different. And as I get a chance, I get a chance to meet quite a few students, and even going to you know, being able to go, I went to lunch with a couple of them, Andy Chang and his girlfriend, along with Mike Yassin, who has a good relationship with them. Got a chance to sit down and, you know, eat some pizza and talk about PT as a student, and their level of understanding movement and progressions and applying strength and conditioning with that is like light years ahead of where I'm at. Not only that, but what's cool is to hear them talk about more entrepreneur kind of driven ideas and activities and things that they want to do when they get out of school and what they're looking to do with their career and maybe even like multifaceted options of what they're going to use that, that skill set that they've just learned to springboard into other things. And I think it's amazing. The fact that they're looking at this like, oh, how else can I use this skill set? Like, sure, I want to do clinical work because I just went to school for a long time for that. I can help these people. I get a lot of personal satisfaction out of that. But what else can I use this for? Can I use this as a consultant for like a big group for wellness-based purposes? Can you do a hybrid approach and do strength conditioning side and group training or whatever it is? Open a gym, open your own practice, digital stuff online, digital education, digital programming, you know, all kinds of stuff. They're thinking about this stuff and they're developing brands while they're in school. Like, holy shit, that is next level. Dude, that's next level stuff. And people have now been doing this for years, and it's for me to be able to get in front of students and really talk to them about their kind of methodology of why they're doing things. Like, dude, they're so much further ahead than I was, you know, when I was at Baylor. I was just trying not to fucking fail, okay? Like, I had to work hard just to pass tests. So I'm not over here thinking about how to build a personal brand. I'm just trying to pass neuroscience. So you're obviously a shitload smarter than I am. And I think it's amazing. It's the future of our profession is bright with these people, you know? And so they're savvy when it comes to social media. They have access to podcasts, you know, which is such an interesting medium to learn from. Obviously, I'm a big fan of podcasts. I have one, but I listen to a ton of podcasts, and it's one of my favorite ways to learn and to get exposed to new people, new ideas, just information in general. And a lot of them are listening to podcasts. They're learning from that. They're learning from outside of their brick and mortar school, right? Like, you know, we didn't really have too much of that. It was, you could like go search for stuff on your own, but the ease of kind of information from vetted, like high level people, is much easier to find now. And the fact that they're using those resources really effectively is amazing. So the students are smarter than ever, and you know, we're in good hands with these suckers because they are definitely well ahead of where you and I probably were whenever we were in school. All right, so number three, conferences are for relationship building more than the content. Okay, so this might be a bit of an obvious one in some cases, but so I didn't go to many actual presentations, you know. And part of that was because, well, part of it is because where I'm trying to improve right now is not really clinically. I don't see a whole lot of patients anymore. You know, I have a 1.5 day schedule of current patients, and I'm not really trying to progress a whole lot there, right? And that's because for me, I mean, I definitely hang around people that push the envelope on this stuff. I get exposed to a lot of cool ideas. But more of what I'm working on now is trying to improve my skill set as a business owner, as a mentor, as a business consultant, and being able to help so many of these other practices that we have an opportunity to work with scale and grow and affect more people. I really think that that's an opportunity that I have to affect our profession in the greatest way. So instead of me growing athletes' potential as big as I possibly can, I really think where I have an opportunity to help our profession the most is to help stack on business skills to these really good clinicians and teach them how to actually have a successful practice and grow past themselves and create time and financial freedom, right? And it's not an easy thing to do. It's hard to get lost, or it's easy to get lost in that system, and it's a hard thing to do on your own. So for me, the content wasn't as important, but I think that for a lot of people, when they go to conferences, they get really, they get super excited about the content and learning new research or whatever it might be, but really it's about relationship development while you're there, right? So if you can meet with people, connect with people outside of there. I mean, I got to go to some really cool events and meet some super cool people. I got to listen to Megan Brown talk about physical therapy and how it fits with fitness and exercise and sort of her entrepreneurial story in front of all these people at an event that PT Pintcast did with Jimmy McKay, which was awesome. And just, you know, for me to be able to hear that, I've had her on the podcast before, but to be able to hear that in person and then connect with that person, you know, face to face, and it's not the same thing, right? Like, that relationship development is different in person. You see, oh, this is another human being. And we can talk about our kids. We can talk about business and talk about all these things that we have in common. Now, all of a sudden, that relationship is stronger, you know, and that's somebody that I'm super excited to have a chance to have met and continue to have a relationship with her going forward, because she's a game changer in our fucking profession, man. She's doing crazy, really cool stuff. And those are the kind of people that if you just stay at home and you don't go out to some of these events, you don't really get a chance to meet them in person, right? And it's easy for us to just sort of have these digital relationships, and social media can be very helpful with that. But in-person stuff, there's just no, you have to do it. There's no comparison with the depth of relationship you develop. And, you know, at these conferences, I would encourage you to, yes, the content's important, but don't forget about like the other people that are there and developing these relationships, you know, and fostering these relationships and curating them long-term. It can be time costly. You know, it can be kind of energy dependent. Like you have to reach out to people and follow back up with people, but relationships are so important, especially if you are going to go into business for yourself. Like you need solid relationships just as much as you need a solid understanding of business and a solid understanding of, you know, the clinical side of things. Like these all work together. So for us, I went to a lot more kind of business relationship development work. I did more of that than I did actually going to the conferences, which I'm sure there's some smart people there. But for me, it was more important to meet other people, and don't lose sight of the fact that that's one of the huge parts of these in-person events, is actually connecting with other people. All right, number four, our profession still buys a bunch of shit. Okay, let me phrase that one more. Let me say it one more time. So our profession still buys a bunch of, let me say, dog shit stuff. Okay, I walked around the exhibitor hall it was huge. I've spent hours and hours in this, you know, sponsored area where they had all these, you know, people had booths set up and selling X, Y, and Z, and I was shocked at just how much crap was in there. Like they were selling so many things that I would never ever purchase. Now, some of these things don't apply to my profession, right? Like some of these gate contraptions, like holy shit, those things were crazy. You know, it looked like it was some sort of, I don't know, trapeze or something like that. Somebody you can hook them up to, and you know, it's for falls training. And like, cool. If that's what you train, like that looks like an amazing piece of equipment. You're still actually like functionally working with somebody. But what I saw was a bunch of modalities that do nothing for other people. Like, let's be honest, guys. Modalities, for the most part, don't do shit. And what I didn't see, and what I was interested in the fact that there really wasn't much of this, was like strength conditioning equipment. You know, a kettlebell isn't as cool as cold laser or whatever the hell it is that you're selling. I get it, right? And the margins probably aren't as good on those either. But I was shocked at how much stuff they had in there between ultrasound and lasers and whatever other modalities that people were selling. And I can't imagine that they were there if people weren't buying that stuff. And it shocks me a little bit to see that our profession is still using these antiquated, you know, modalities that honestly have very little scientific foundation to back that they work, but yet still we use them. And yet still we're not getting people back to big functional patterns. You're going to cold laser somebody's knee, but you're not going to teach them how to run? Or, you know, you're going to throw ultrasound on that Achilles tendon, but you're not going to teach them how to absorb load? Well, there's a disconnect there. Right? Like you're working on passive I fix you techniques versus let me be your guide and how to move better and how to control your body better and how to have a plan long term to create longevity and decrease your likelihood of injury, but also increase performance and allow you to do the things that you really like. So I was a bit shocked with that. You know, I got a chance to talk to a handful of people in the exhibit hall, and you know, like there's some good stuff in there, don't get me wrong, but there's also a lot of crap in there. It's a lot of just useless shit. And I know they paid a bunch of money for these tables, and they had these huge elaborate setups, you know. And here's one other thing for you guys, students. If you see a practice, let's say a PT practice, And they've got just a massive setup. Like they put dumped a ton of money and time into this. I would run away from that practice as soon as possible if they tried to offer me a job. Because here's the reality. That is so expensive. And the people that are running those big practices, these big corporate practices, are privately owned. Those are private equity owned practices by and large. I can't think of many of these huge practices, if any, that are not owned by private equity. And it's the same place that you're going to go and you're going to tell you all this cool stuff. Oh, you can be a director in a year. What does that mean? That means you're going to have more responsibilities. You're going to get paid marginally more, and then you're going to start to hate your life more. You know, oh, we'll get you in a residency and then we lock you in for 2 or 3 years. And all of a sudden, you know, if you want to leave, you got to pay it back and you got a 20-mile non-compete. You know, they are taking new students and they have high turnover because people get disgruntled with the volume that they have there, the lack of, you know, any sort of autonomy or growth, you know, to where they can work in more of this sort of performance setting. And I'm telling you, do not get drawn in by shiny objects and things that they tell you, because over and over and over again, I get people that reach out to me asking me how to get out of some of these crap situations with these giant corporate organizations that they've, you know, they've gotten a job at straight out of school. So be aware of that stuff. Be aware of the stuff that you're signing. You know, if you're signing these elaborate non-competes and things that are just honestly, you know, unnecessary in many cases, I would stay away from those guys with every chance that I had. I'd rather go another direction if possible. So, number five, social media and consistent content is incredibly powerful. So, social media and consistent content is incredibly powerful. So, for me, you know, going to a live event, I didn't really know what to expect in terms of how many people we'd had a chance to interact with, how many people actually would be there from some of the content that we put out, whether it be the podcast or the Facebook group that we have, blog content we have, whatever. But I can see the stats. Like, I look at our podcast. I know there's a lot of people that listen to it. I know that it gets, you know, however many downloads. But in person, being able to meet people was really interesting to see. And on multiple occasions, people that I met, when we introduced ourselves and we got a chance to talk to him, over and over again, I hear the same thing. They said, I feel like I already know you because I listen to your voice all the time. That's crazy to me. Not in a bad way. It's crazy to me that you can, in a really positive way, develop a relationship without even meeting somebody in person. And yet when you meet them in person, all of a sudden, they know you on some level. They trust you on some level. Right? Because you've exposed yourself in some way, your opinions, your biases, towards whatever it is that your thought process is, and they might agree with that very much. The people that don't probably stop listening, but the people that continue to listen, we have a lot in common. Otherwise, you wouldn't give a fuck what I had to say, right? Like, just right there, I'll drop an F-bomb. If you don't like it, whenever somebody drops an F-bomb, you're probably not going to listen to this podcast a whole lot. But if you're okay with that and you don't mind, or maybe you're like, holy crap, this guy just said, fuck, I got to listen to this more. Now all of a sudden we've strengthened our relationship, right? And in person, I'm not changing the way that I am, you know, and it's authenticity. And what's crazy is to hear that over and over and over again. You know, probably a dozen people that I met said the same thing. Was, oh, I feel like I already know you. So I listen to this podcast all the time. And it's important to sort of take this concept and relay that to your own practices. So think of this. So if you're doing content, like social media content on a regular basis, there's people that you're going to start to develop relationships with in your local area that are going to just really, you know, be drawn towards you because of the message that you have, the way you look, the way you talk, the way you move, all this stuff. You're developing a relationship via consistency and a message that might not be right for everybody, but it's going to be just right for certain people. And that's what's so important about content. And not just content once, you know, it's consistency, because people are busy. And to have somebody that's consistently putting something in front of them that's providing some sort of value is a really, really solid way, effective way to develop relationships. And this is where I would say like the weirdest moment and probably the coolest moment for me at this conference was the first day as I'm walking through the exhibit hall. I'm going down to the exhibit hall, I should say, and I bump into two of my buddies from the Army. They're both still in. They're in their, you know, they're in their dress blues. Hard to miss them. They're looking sharp as shit, you know, with all their awards on and super cool. And up walks one of our professors. He was like one of our ortho lead professors when I was at Baylor. So he was a colonel in the Army, and he got out and he started a physical therapy program at another school in the area where he retired. And what was interesting was for him to come up and he said, "Hey, I watch the YouTube videos that you guys put out for your practice." He's like, "And I listen to your podcast." He's like, "It's awesome. I think what you're doing is great." And this is somebody, like, this is a pedestal person for me. Like, this is one of the smartest people that I've ever met. You know, that I just, you know, like, these are people that when you're in school are just like, "God, I'll never be on the level of this person," right? Like, they're so smart. They've got so much experience. And as a student, it's easy to want to emulate people like that. But then to have that same person come up to me and say if they listen to a podcast or watch our YouTube videos, that was crazy. And it's interesting because he said something to me. It was like, "Man, I wish if I was, you know, had gotten out like you, this, like, it's cool. I would have done the same thing. I would have loved to have educated people." And it's just a different medium of education. He went into education in a brick and mortar setting. He went to get his PhD and did all this research. But education is education. And now we have the opportunity to do this in a less formal manner, but yet still share ideas and still educate people. And to talk to him about content that was out and things that, you know, it was benefiting him or his students that he's sending stuff to. That's crazy. But it just gives you an example of why consistency and getting your ideas out there and sharing what you believe in a consistent manner, whether it be social media or like content like this on a podcast, is so important. And even with social media, you know, it's interesting. I sat down for breakfast with Shante Cofield, AKA the Movement Maestro. And, you know, that's what people call her. They're like, "Oh, what's up, Maestro?" You know, and they just feel like they know her because she's so interactive on social media. She's a super likable person. It's like, who doesn't like her? I mean, yeah, it'd be a real jackass not to like somebody like her. And she's just super genuine, right? And that's the way she is in person. That's the way she is on social media. It's the reason why, you know, people request to go to her courses, because she does such a good job of it, and she does a good job of connecting with people. So my advice to you, so if you're getting into content and putting out content or trying to improve your social media, be as genuine as you possibly can. You know, put your ideas out there. Don't be mean, but take a stance on something. Like, tell people how you feel about something, and don't be afraid to lose people. Not everybody's gonna like what you have to say. I guarantee you, there's people out there in our community that think that I'm an absolute asshole. They're like, "This guy's an asshole. He doesn't take insurance. You know, he drops F-bomb all the time. Like, he's X, Y, and Z," whatever. You know, fuck them. I don't give a fuck. You know, like, those are people that I'm not going to have any relationship with whatsoever. But the people that want the information that we have to put out, like, man, we're going to be good friends and we're going to have a lot in common and I'm going to be able to help you and in a way that is really, really meaningful. So put yourself out there, but don't be afraid to ruffle some people's feathers and have people that don't agree with you. This was really hard for me when I first started doing content. You know, I remember one of the first blog articles I wrote, I had a guy leave a comment on our blog post that he's about just like totally disagreeing with what I had to say. And man, for like weeks, I would say for like weeks, I was irritated. You know, we were like commenting back and forth, and we're both basically trying to change each other's mind. And that's never going to happen. And you know, the better way to look at it now, I know I'm not going to argue with that person. It's like, dude, it's your opinion. Cool. It is what it is. You'd be successful with what you do. I'm going to be successful with what I do. I'm going to find my people. You find your people. And you know, that's it. You know, help as many people as you can, but have a defined message of who it is you're trying to help and your ideas. What people don't want is people just live in the middle. You know, you got these meek people that are just frankly scared to take a stance on something because they don't want to have to defend that, or they don't want backlash. But if you live in the middle, no one cares. No one's going to care what you have to say. you have to really talk about what you believe and be genuine about it and express your ideas, you know, and do it in an intelligent way. Don't just go around yelling at people, obviously. But take a stance, be consistent, and use social media as a way to really develop your personal brand, in a way where people can meet you and they're like, oh, dude, I feel like I already know you because I see this on social media. Or even like Shante, you know, they call you by your damn Instagram handle. Like she's done a pretty good job of developing a personal brand if that's what happens, man. You know, you normally have to win like a championship to get a nickname. You know, you got to, like LeBron James, the king, right? You got to be awesome at something. And on social media, you can be consistent. You can connect with people and you can really build this amazing personal brand. So I highly recommend that you guys think about really adding that to what you're doing and using that as, think of it as a long-term strategy. You know, relationship development is just another part of it. And that's my biggest takeaway from this really was, it's all about relationships. It's all about finding the people that connect with you and deepening those relationships, helping those people be successful. And if you can do that, then, you know, it comes back to you tenfold, you know, on the receiving end. And in some cases, never, right? Like there's plenty of people listening to this podcast I'll never work with ever in any sort of formal setting, not because I wouldn't want to work with them, but because they're not, well, they may not be willing to reinvest in themselves, in their business, in growing and learning, and that's fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I still think that, you know, you can get a lot of value just from the things that we have to say, and implementing that stuff, right? So either way, you still have to help people. But some of those people, some of you listening to this, you know, we're going to work together down the road. It's going to happen. You may be a student right now, but hey, in 3 years, when you're trying to scale past yourself in a cash practice and you don't know what to do, guess what? We can help you with that, you know? And if that's you right now, same thing. It's just a matter of if you're ready for help, if you're ready to grow, the podcast might be where you're at right now. You know, reading blog posts or social media, learning in that capacity might be where you're at. It just depends on where people are at in their journey, you know, in particular with their business and their career. And that's fine, because it's all about helping other people and impact. And the more you have, the more likely it is that those people gain trust in you and they're going to want to work with you, whether it be patients or it be people that, you know, in our case with this podcast, a lot of consulting work, right? So that's it. 5 takeaways. The performance PT community is growing. Students are smarter than ever. Conferences are more for relationship building than the content. Our profession still buys a bunch of useless shit. And social media and content consistently are really, really powerful. So if you came to CSM and we met, thanks so much. I met some super cool people. It's just awesome to connect. If you didn't, no worries. Get out and go to something else, you know, some other conference, go to a strength and conditioning conference, go to something, but get out and go meet people and go build relationships and learn you know, just try to grow. And it's really helpful to do that in person. So head to a conference. Like I said, probably end up going to CSM next year. We really enjoyed getting a chance to meet everybody. I think it's in Denver, which is gonna be a cool town, right? So anyway, that might be on tap. We got some cool stuff in store for you guys coming forward. The book that I wrote, I just got the full manuscript back, edited everything. We probably have about a month of work left that we need to do to have everything ready to go and for this to be able to actually be something that you guys can get and get your hands on and read and implement. And I'm so excited. This has been a really long process, but to be able to see that, it's pretty cool. And to be able to share that with everybody, I'm really, really looking forward to. I think it's going to help a lot of you, you know, really kind of really start and grow practices in a more of a performance setting and what that looks like, and hopefully break some false beliefs about what's possible. So keep an eye out for that. We'll be putting more information out on the book, which by the way is called Fuck Insurance. Yes, I went there and I had to take a stance. And I think that insurance companies suck. And I think that huge corporate owned PT practices suck as well. And, that's who we're trying to get away from. And I'm going to arm you with the information you need to be able to do that within this book. So, you know, if it offends you, I'm sorry, don't buy it. Simple as that. And if it doesn't, you're going to want to get your hands on it. So we'll have more information come out on that. Guys, as always, thank you so much for listening to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. Hey, I just want to say thanks for listening to today's show. If you liked what you heard and you're interested in seeing if you're a fit to work with us, here's what I want you to do next. Head over to physicaltherapybiz.com/call. That's physicaltherapybiz.com/call and book an appointment to speak with our team today. We'll jump on the phone with you for about 45 minutes and we'll get you crystal clear on three things in your business. Number one, what price should you be charging? Number two, what target audience should you be going after? And number three, what strategies should you be using to reach those people? Remember, scaling your cash PT business doesn't happen by itself. You need expert guidance to make it happen. We've helped cash PT owners all over the country scale to multiple six-figure businesses, all while creating huge impact in their communities. To see if we can help you do the same thing, head over to physicaltherapybiz.com/call. I'm Danny Matei, and let's talk soon.